Welcome to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen. I'm a productivity speaker, author, and classroom teacher. Here at Virtual School Assembly, I interview Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, Olympians, speakers, and educators who share messages of inspiration, education, and hope to better prepare you for an ever-changing and uncertain world. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started. Welcome back to Virtual School Assembly. Today, our guest is Kyle Offray. Kyle is a former NFL tight end, turned successful business executive and entrepreneur. He played collegiately at Mississippi State and New Hampshire, and then professionally for the Cardinals, Patriots, Browns, and the Raiders. Kyle is the vice president of sales at GameBreaker, one of Inc. magazine's top 10 fastest-growing manufacturing companies, resulting in triple-digit growth 3 years in a row. We are excited to have you on the show today. Kyle, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Cool. Well, let's start just by digging into your story. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing and how you got into football in the first place.
Oh, I was born in a sports family. Both my parents were athletes. My dad played two sports in college. So growing up, I was always involved. I was always in a gym. I was always on a field. Pretty much played all sports growing up. Every season was a different adventure. Basically came down to football and basketball were my two loves at the end of my high school career, and I had better opportunities in the football world. So I took that route, went to Mississippi State. SEC football is pretty much as big as you get for college football. Obviously, spent a few years there, then transferred out my last year. Coaches left, coaches got fired. It's, politics of sport. Mm-hmm. Ended up transferring to get some playing time in New Hampshire, played my senior year there. And then made my way up to the NFL. So
right now you've played a number of positions. You're pretty tall. And so through high school, were you playing quarterback or were you tight end or were you playing a bunch of things? What did you do in high school?
I was a quarterback my whole career until my junior year of college, where, when I transferred out, it was, I just wanted an opportunity to play. So we went to my coach and said, how can I get on the field? And we had some injuries at tight end position going into my senior year at New Hampshire. The two other tight ends both got hurt ahead of me, and basically they had zero tight ends. So
wow.
I said, I'll do it. I'm 6'6". I was a big kid, put on a few pounds over the summer, and basically ended up starting all 13 games my senior year.
That's incredible. So then your transition from college to the pros, you're in a new position, and you played tight end in the pros. How did that happen? How did you get signed on being completely new to this position?
So it was actually a very rough transition for me. Coming out was 2011 spring, which was the NFL lockout. Okay. So I was an undrafted free agent. I only had 1 year experience. So for me, it was all about OTAs. It was about getting a workout. It was about pro days, and none of that happened. So I basically, in 2011, went through the whole offseason in the NFL and had zero interest. I basically had a choice come, the end of training camp in the fall of 2011 to either hang up the cleats or give it a go one more time, hoping for better circumstances. And I chose to, football was my dream, my passion, my whole life. So I chose to give it another go. And I moved down to Miami, where I had been training for Combine and Pro Day, with Bomarito Performance down there. And I basically moved down there, got a job, worked full-time, and trained full-time. So I did that for 6 months, and I came out of it bigger, stronger, faster than I had ever been, healthier than I had ever been, and took it another year of pro days and off-season workouts. And at that time, the NFL was doing regional combines. And I did very well in those and made it to the Super Regional Combines, where I worked out in front of all 32 teams. And a week later, I was signed by the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow. That's incredible. However, it also sounds like a nightmare to me. In that year that you were kind of in limbo, where you were training and you were working, I mean, what was that like? I mean, obviously the dream was still alive. You were working towards it. But what were some of the highs and lows of that time?
It was very tough. There weren't really many highs. It was pretty much all lows. I was training pretty much 5 days a week. A lot of the times in the off season during football season, it was by myself because all the other football players were actually playing football, and I was just sitting there watching. I didn't know anybody down there other than the people I trained with and at the gym. I got an apartment by myself. I moved down there by myself. And I just put my head down and went to work. And I had a goal and a dream and a vision that I wanted to pursue and didn't want to give up on. And that's pretty much how it was. And it, it was rough. But I mean, I don't know. I had a goal in my mind. I had a goal written on a piece of paper on my mirror in my bathroom, and I woke up every morning and saw it. So that's pretty much a lot of work, basically.
Well, but I think that that's an important part of your story, because we have so many kids right now who aren't working out with their teams, who are still, you know, in this pandemic, and a lot missed their senior seasons, didn't have the opportunity to get in front of recruiters and coaches, and who knows what will happen this next year. I think it's encouraging to hear from you that during that time, instead of just wasting away, you got stronger, you got faster, you worked towards your goals, and eventually you had your opportunity to present yourself to the team. And I think a lot of kids right now are in a really similar situation where they don't know what the future is going to be, but they can just, you know, put in the work and look towards that progress. So I think that's an incredible story. Now, I know from talking to other professional athletes that becoming pro, you know, it's great. It's that thing that you always wanted. It was on your mirror. But there's a lot of highs and lows associated with being a pro. Talk us a little bit through your journey in professional football. You know, what was the high point for you, and what were some of the things that maybe you hadn't thought about before that you had to experience?
Well, the one thing you learn about the NFL very quickly is it's a business. It's a dollars and cents business. Basically, when I was with the Cardinals, I was the undrafted free agent. There were three tight ends that were on the roster that were all under contract that were already making guaranteed money. They were going to be on the team. There was a rookie that was drafted in the same year as me. He was a seventh round draft pick. So he was afforded more opportunities than me every day, which, again, it's part of the business. I understood that. You can really only focus on the things you can control, knowing your plays. When you do get an opportunity, are you going 100 miles an hour? Are you doing it right? Are you understanding what you're supposed to understand? And that's really, again, I've always focused on what I can control. So that was always my attitude going into it. My attitude was, I'm not supposed to be here. No one here wants me to, thinks I'm supposed to be here. And I went there every day with a chip on my shoulder to prove people wrong. And, you know, then you get cut. I got cut by the Cardinals in training camp. And, you know, I had never missed a rep, never dropped a ball. I went 4 or 5 months through OTAs, through summer workouts. And they keep track of everything, every stat, every statistic in practice. I had no mistakes. I didn't have one drop pass. I outperformed other people in the position every single day. I showed up every day. The other guy ahead of me got in trouble with the law, got kicked out of the hotel. Like, there was a million reasons why I should have been there. And other people might not have, should have been there. Mm-hmm. But I, again, can't control it. So they cut me. I flew back home, went back to work. And you know, Patriots signed me a few days later. So again, it's a funny, I don't know. It's funny how things work out. But yeah, I mean, the one thing you learn is the NFL is a business just like anybody else. It's a high performance business, just like my job is today. Just like most jobs, it's about performance. If you perform well, do your job, bring value to your organization or your company, you know, you have some job security. In the NFL, you don't, right? NFL really stands for not for long. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah.
That's the reality of the situation. It's the reality of a lot of situations. There's always politics involved. There's money involved. It's mm-hmm. whether it's the NFL, whether it's your job, whether it's your business, you're always going to deal with that.
Yeah. So what were some of the best parts about being in the NFL and going through that experience? You kind of grinded through for a while and went with a bunch of different teams. What was your high point?
Yeah, the high point, I would say the high point for me was playing versus Green Bay and Lambeau Field when I was with the Raiders. I would say that was my high point. One of my college roommates from Mississippi State, Derek Sherrod, he was a first round pick of the Packers. He was playing on their side, obviously. So, you know, playing against him and you know, us both being in the NFL in the same field together was a pretty awesome experience. You know, meeting the people, right? I mean, you could say catching passes from Tom Brady is a pretty cool experience, right? My first day when I was with the Cardinals, I was in the locker right next to Larry Fitzgerald. And I hung out with him a bunch, right? So meeting these guys who I grew up, you know, Larry's been in the NFL, what, 15, 16, 18 years now. Tom Brady's been in the NFL, what, 40 years now. So you get to see guys that when I was in high school, I was watching them play on TV, and now I'm sitting on the team with them. And again, even if I was a practice squad guy or, you know, a camp guy, you're still you have a signed contract with a team. You're still in the locker room. You're still a teammates. And I can forever say I was teammates with Tom Brady and I was teammates with Larry Fitzgerald. And, you know, I was with the Browns for a little while and I was with the Raiders. And, you know, you just get to be around people who are legends of the game that, you know, you see on TV and you're sitting there. Now I sit here, I watch NFL games with my family and my friends. And I know half the guys on the field and I've trained with half the guys on the field. And I can talk, I still talk to a lot of these guys and I built a lot of great relationships. For instance, Joe Judge, he's now the head coach of the Giants, right? If you look at his background, he was a special teams coach in New England when I was there. Well, before that, he was the special teams grad assistant at Mississippi State when I was there, right? So I know him, I know his family, I know his wife, you know, it's now he's the head coach of the New York Giants. Yeah. And so it's a small football world. It's really great seeing other people succeed, especially guys, you know, that put in the work and are very good people. It goes, you know, without saying that it's, you know, it's a really cool opportunity just being there. And obviously I wish I had played more. I wish I had a longer career. But again, you can only control so much. So,
right. Well, so the interesting thing about that is from high school on, you've had an incredible work ethic. You don't just become an NFL tight end by skating along. You had to work incredibly hard and put in the time, put in the hours. And then in most professions, you work that hard for that long, you're going to be at the top for a long time. In the NFL, it's different because of injuries, because of circumstances. And so the road in the NFL was up and down for you. But what you have, what you can take away from that is the work ethic and apply that to what you're doing now. So let's talk about how have you transitioned since the NFL? What are you doing? And how did perhaps the NFL prepare you for what you're doing now?
Well, now I'm the vice president of sales for GameBreaker. We're top 10 fastest growing manufacturing companies in the country. We're 10 years old now, so I've been here for a little less than half of the life of the company, and we've really exploded nationally. We work with NFL, college, NCAA. We work with high schools, youth programs, all levels of sport, different sports, different products, and it's the same thing. I mean, the work ethic, I looked at it this way. When I was in the NFL, every day you go to work, especially in my position that I was in, I'm essentially trying to sell myself. You're a salesman. You're selling yourself, your talents, your ability to that organization, to the coaches. And that salesmanship is based on your performance. And the same thing transitions to really any job, right? I think any job, any position in any company, you're in a sales and marketing position, right? Every company is a marketing company because they're marketing their product to the consumer. And every position is a sales position. Or it should be, at least, because it should be based on performance, right? How well are you doing? And even if it's someone as simple as the secretary, right? Are you showing up on time? Are you putting in the work? Are you staying extra? Are you making sure everything's done well and done correctly? That's something that I've always gone by, and that transitions right into the business world. So I pride myself in being the hardest worker in the room. Every room I step into, whether it's with my company, whether it's with a customer, whether it's with other businesses that we deal with, we pride ourselves on outworking everybody. We're small, we're agile, we're the underdog story. which is great if you have the right people, and those right people are people who are just grinders.
Right.
I travel a ton. I am away from my family at times, but it's part of, you know, getting the job done. So the hard work, the dedication, the commitment to excellence, all the same principles that you're instilled from youth football to high school football to college football to the NFL, transitions right into the business world. The biggest struggle I think athletes have is understanding the difference between being a professional athlete or a college athlete, whatever it is, versus being a business executive, associate, salesman, whatever it is. The biggest lapse is the understanding and knowledge of the business industry and the industry that they're going into. A lot of athletes, unfortunately, get a degree that doesn't really do much for them. Sales is a position where hard work can persevere a lot of times, but a lot of times it's knowledge of the industry, knowledge of the product, knowledge of the consumer. Sales is actually, you know, to be successful at sales, it's also understanding your customer behavior, building relationships. There's a lot more to it than just, hey, this is a product. Do you want to buy it?
Right.
So there's a lot more to it, a lot more details, but it's, again, it relates back to any sport, right? It's the details of knowing the defense, watching film, understanding your opponent, right? All those same concepts, if you've done that in the sports world and done your job correctly, it's the same thing. It's just a different business, a different product. You're a different customer, a different opponent, right? You deal with obstacles in sports, you deal with obstacles in business. So it's about overcoming those obstacles, right? Diagnosing problems, prescribing solutions.
Cool. Well, and it's awesome to see how that translates over from the football field to what you're doing now. Too often we see professional athletes who aren't prepared for life after football. And even though they worked hard on the field, it's hard to put that into another area. As you mentioned, if they weren't trained in it, if they got a degree that's useless, and certainly I've seen that as a college professor, how many football players get a degree in sociology or some random field that they're not going to get a job in, but it was the easier degree. So I commend you for what you've done and how you've been able to transition. If you could look back and give yourself advice, your high school self advice, and say, you know, with the experience you have now and the life experience, what would you tell yourself?
I would have told myself to hit the weight room a lot earlier, that's for sure. I was a quarterback, and I had, I guess, what they call it, arm talent. So I had a really good arm. Mm-hmm. And I guess I took that for granted. I was always in really good shape because I was a basketball player as well. But I didn't have I wasn't a hard weight room guy. I wasn't lifting heavy. I wasn't working as hard as I needed to or could have been because my talent was at a higher level than most people. Which, again, to your point, that's kind of the weakness where the transition is from pro athletes or college athletes to the business world is a lot of them work hard, but they also have a really good talent or skill set. Mm-hmm. And when they transition to the business world, they don't have that same talent and skill set because it's a new job, it's a new position, it's a new environment that they're in. And that's where the hard work has to take over and the dedication and the commitment has to take over. So if I could go back, looking back now, I would have said I needed to work harder. I would never work hard enough in high school. I probably didn't work hard enough in college because now I know what it takes to really play at the highest level. And you don't really know until you get there. And I saw other tight ends. And when I was training down in Florida, I was training with Gronk. I was training with Jimmy Graham. I was training with Vernon Davis. I was training with some big time tight ends, and they were better than me. They worked harder. They were stronger. They were fast. I thought I was big, strong, fast. And then you go work out with Gronk, who's stronger and faster.
Right.
Right. So it's, you always have to have that thing. And people say that you don't compete against your teammates in practice. You're competing against the other team or the opponents, but you don't really know. Right. And cream rises to the top. The people who rise to the level of competition, I was always that person. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I also had the downfall of if I was going to win, I wouldn't, like, if I knew I was better than somebody, I wouldn't still go 100%. Right. That Kobe Bryant mentality, right? That Michael Jordan mentality of I'm getting better every day. I'm going harder every day. And I didn't have that in high school. I just you know, hey, I'm really good. I can throw, I'm 6'6". I'm a good athlete. I could throw the ball 75 yards. And, you know, I got colleges looking at me. I was the, you know, the big deal. And that doesn't, no one cares. Right. Once you get to college and you walk on a field, SEC football field, and every other quarterback on the team has a better arm than you and is more athletic than you, but they also worked harder than you and trained harder and played at a higher level of football than you in high school. And you're like, oh, shoot, I should have probably worked a little harder the last 2 years. Right. So,
yeah, it's crazy how that goes. Now, I have one last thing as far as looking back. Our world has actually changed a lot just in the last 10 years. And so one of the things that you'd mentioned earlier was that part of being in the business, whether it's the NFL or what you're doing now, is we're selling ourselves. We're creating a personal brand. And nowhere do we see that more than in social media. And that's something that high school kids are dealing with now with Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and everything else. Do you have any advice for kids on just how they can develop a brand and how they should handle their social media while they're young? Because that might have some ramifications later on.
So I'm probably going to have the unpopular opinion on this. And I'm going to say, get off social media. It's not real life. Social media to me is just the highlight, is people's highlights of their life. It's not the struggle. It's not the downtimes. It's not the adversity they face. It's just the highlight reel. Whether it's their, you know, in athletes, they're posting their huddle fit, right? Their huddle tape is, social media is just your huddle. It's right. just your highlight reel. It's great for a brand. It's great for awareness. It's great for all that. But it doesn't matter if you don't put in the work. Your how many followers you have on Instagram or Twitter or TikTok means nothing to scouts. It means, and when you get to the NFL, it means nothing to the NFL. And when you get to the real world and getting a job, it means nothing. No one on your resume, I've never filled out a resume or a job application or had an interview where a question came up of how many social media followers you have or how many likes did you get on this video. It can help down the road once you get there. But until you get there, it doesn't, I mean, that's my opinion. It's probably unpopular. I know that there's a lot of power in your phone and on social media. You can benefit from it. And now with the NCAA rules where they're allowing to pay players with endorsements and all that, it's great. But I think it takes away from kids realize, they say, oh, I'm going to be good because I have a million followers on Instagram. Well, what happens when, you know, you're not working out hard and you get injured and your sports career is over? And, you know, you see, again, not to put it in a negative light, but these Instagram models or social media model girls. Well, what do you have when you're 35 and now you don't have that body or that, you know, this or that, that you were selling to all these people, right? And that you're, it's done, it's over. Your fame, your social media fame is now no longer there. Now you have a life, right? It's like same thing as life after football. It's like life after social media. Like, are you going to be sitting there when you're 30, 40, 50, 60 taking selfies and posting on this? Like, what about the real world we live in? Like, live in the, like, spend time with your friends, spend time with your family. I was really blessed, and I don't take this for granted. I appreciate Facebook for me didn't really come about until I was in, like, my senior year of high school. That's when Facebook became kind of a thing. Right. And then you know, all this other stuff didn't really happen until college and after college for me. And so I grew up with the ability to communicate with people, to talk to people. I appreciate spending time with my family, my friends. I appreciate going places and just being in the room and being with the people I'm around and being able to hold the conversation. It blows my mind how many kids can't hold a conversation. With coaches, with recruits, with college administrators, with, you know, whoever, with, you know, the NFL, when you go to an NFL interview, you're in a room with 10, 20, 15 people talking to you one-on-one. You're not texting them. You're not tweeting them. And guess what? Every single thing that you post and say on social media, they're not going to use for your benefit. They're going to use it against you. And recruiters are going to use it against you. And I know actual personal friends of myself, my wife, my family, who have been fired from stuff they've posted on social media. They literally, the next day, you're gone. I remember when I was with the New England Patriots, they have a zero tolerance policy for posting pictures or anything in the locker room. And when you sign your contract on day one, it says that in the contract. We had a rookie sign the contract, pumped about it, went into the locker room after signing his contract and put on social media from the locker. Now, you could go out into your car and post a video, but he posted a video from inside the locker room of him signing. Cut within an hour. Done. Wow. Didn't even step on the field. Made the team on tryouts, was cut within an hour because he posted a video that he got signed by the Patriots from the locker room. And they have a zero tolerance policy. So that worked out great for your social media following, but you just ruined your career.
Right.
So, and he never signed with another team again. So again, it's people are looking for that instant gratification on social media. And in my opinion, there's so much more to life than what's on social media. And again, at the end of the day, at the end of your life, when you pass away and you're in your funeral, who's going to be there? None of your social media followers will be there. It'll be your friends, your family, your loved ones. And to me, that's what really matters in life. And I think people start losing track of that now because the world's at their fingertips. And that's my opinion. It's probably unpopular. It might be old school. Call it what you want. But,
well, I appreciate you saying it. I've actually never asked that question on an interview before, but I love it because it coincides with your message, which is hard work. You know, it's hard work. It's not having these things that inflate your ego or make you feel good or distract you from hard work. And social media certainly can do that. And I appreciate your examples of how that have real ramifications for people that you've met. It is funny though, because usually I end these interviews by saying, well, if people want to follow you or if people want to learn more about you, where should they go? I guess we can end this by saying, hey, if you want to follow Kyle, just get to work, put in the time, and don't worry about Kyle. He's doing his thing. So.
Yeah, I did care about, I mean, I have a Twitter, I have an Instagram, partly because it's part of my job. You can connect with a lot of coaches on there. I do it to connect with a lot of people in my industry. I've had an Instagram. I post stuff on it. A lot of more motivational stuff, inspirational stuff. I try to send positive messages to people. There's a lot of negativity in the world right now. There's a lot of negativity on social media, and I try to keep everything very positive and optimistic. Too much pessimism in my opinion, but again, that's just my opinion. People can follow me if they want. I'm not going to give you anything glamorous. I'm not going to post any bikini pictures of me or anything, so you can pass on that. You'll get a lot of workout videos. You'll get a lot of motivational talks and speeches and quotes and all that good stuff. So,
cool. Well, we'll go ahead and link to that in the description on the video. Kyle, so appreciate you being on and your candid talk today. I think this is something that kids need to hear. And so I really appreciate you going through the ups and downs and getting real with us as far as social media and other things. Really appreciate your time.
No, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Virtual School Assembly. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to virtual assemblies. And leave us a rating and review so we know what you learned and took away from this virtual assembly. Videos and show notes are found at virtualschoolassembly.com. And if you're a school leader and you're looking for a speaker for virtual or traditional in-school assemblies, or if you're looking for some teacher training, I'd love to connect with you to see how I can help. You can check out my website at tylerchristensen.com. Thanks, you are super duper. Let's go out and make the world a better place. Bye-bye.